I'm Alex Fracon. You're listening to My Therapist and I, a podcast that isn't just about therapy, it is therapy. More specifically, my therapy. So something interesting happened in this week's session, and I showed up just like actually very stressed. And I talked to Dr. Steve about it, and I think it kind of threw him off guard because usually we sort of chat about high-level stuff. But yeah, super stressed, still am. Hey, such is life. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah. So, feeling overwhelmed today?
I would just like to take this moment to point out that when Dr. Steve entered, he asked how I was doing. And I said...
Entered the studio. The broadcast facility.
Yes. I said, good. But I said it in a way. He was like...
He had a tone.
And I said, oh, you know, I'm not doing super great. And he stopped and he was like, what did you say?
I don't even remember.
You're like...
There was something in your...
Good. Yeah, but then after that, you just...
I'll see you in the office.
I'll see you in my office. It just walked into the podcast studio, which I appreciated that. That made me laugh. But yeah, I got a lot going on. I was just thinking about this before you showed up, but my brain feels like I keep trying to jam things into it, and like there's just no more room. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like wrong going on in life. Life is good. I just... I have a lot of work stuff. Super stressed about that. I've been doing a lot of traveling for work. And on top of that, do you remember last session or two sessions ago, I was talking about my tooth hurting?
Yeah.
So that didn't go away. It got worse. And I went to the dentist. He was like, oh, your tooth's fine. Kept getting worse. Basically, what started happening was every night at like 3-ish in the morning, I'd wake up with this just searing pain.
Oh, wow.
In my teeth. And I say searing pain. I probably put it on like 8 out of 10. It's to the point where, you know, you feel so much pain where you just like can't help but start making noises. Mm. Like you can't control it. You're just like, ugh. And it's kind of like that. And so I'd wake up, I'd take a bunch of Advil, it'd go away, but then I wouldn't get back to sleep. So that happened for, you know, a couple of weeks. And I went to my doctor. He didn't know what was going on. I went back to the dentist. He tested all my teeth. He was like, your teeth are fine. We have since identified it might be some clenching my teeth at night.
Yeah.
Which I've always been aware of. I have a night guard, but for whatever reason, it's gotten way worse. Mm-hmm. So... I went like 3 weeks without being able to sleep. I was just waking up at 3 a.m. every night and then really not going back to sleep. And on top of that, I just had a ton of work stuff. I had a couple of shoots, traveling for shoots. And it's just been rough. Like,
yeah.
I was telling Haley, maybe I didn't tell Haley this, but it's been rough. The good news is I just... got prescribed muscle relaxers. So I take one of those before I go to sleep, and that so far has worked.
Uh-huh.
I sleep through the night, no pain. But it's only been 2 nights, so.
So, wait and see.
Right? Wait and see. But it's carved out this, like, I'm just exhausted, like, all of the time. Mm-hmm. I feel exhausted. A lot of that has to do with the side effects, too, now, of these muscle relaxers. Which is frustrating, but I get to sleep through the night, which I have sorely needed. It's affected my mood, but I'm trying to exercise too to like
counteract.
I mean, everyone keeps telling me, oh, they're like, are you stressed? It's like, yeah, I keep waking up at 3 a.m. Like, I can't sleep. Of course I'm stressed. But I get that. It's like one of those catch-22s where stress is the source of it, but it also causes stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been a rough 2 weeks. And
so your tooth is okay, but you're thinking it's more of the muscles in your jaw and stuff
like that. Yeah, so what my dentist told me was that the nerves that exist sort of in your gum line, like the nerves for your teeth are up kind of in your gum line and above, and ligaments in your mouth, can, when they're inflamed, can put pressure on those nerves and cause what feels like, you know, teeth pain, teeth sensitivity. So, yeah, because he did all these tests. He like ran electricity through my teeth to make sure. It's fascinating how they treat, make sure you don't have, you don't need a root canal or something like that. You know, they went to test to make sure the nerves weren't dead. He's like, there's nothing wrong with your teeth. Took x-rays. But it has been a journey. And the like most challenging part was every time I'd go somewhere and they're like, we don't know what's going on, I started to get like flashbacks of, you know, when I was a kid and I felt I had this dissociation and I was like, there's something wrong, but everyone couldn't tell me what it was.
Right.
That uncertainty in of itself is very stressful. Mm-hmm. When you have something ailing you and no one can tell you what's wrong.
Right.
Just in of itself, that's a super like frustrating and, you know, nerve wracking. Yeah. But fingers crossed we have figured it out. But yeah, in the meantime, I've just been dead tired. Poor Haley. She's been stressed too with work. So we're both just like zombies walking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's on your mind about our stuff besides your teeth, outside of your mouth?
I haven't really, thinking about, I did have an interesting moment. So I've been like obsessing about this sort of teeth issue.
Right.
It's been trying to figure it out, trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. And, I think it was like a couple days ago, I was reminded of the conversations you and I had about acceptance versus mastery.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And I thought too, what sort of the analogy George had made, which is like if you sprained your ankle and you focus on it, you know, that's all you can think about. You start walking differently.
Right.
So those ideas of like, well, maybe, you know, maybe me focusing on the pain I'm experiencing and is in a way contributing to it. Mm-hmm. Or in a sense, like, is there a world in which I say, okay, this is happening. We're not really sure what's causing it, but everything else is good. You know, life goes on. Is there a way to just focus on it less?
Yeah, that seems different to me, you know, like than the sprained ankle analogy. At least you know you have a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
You know the origins of it. And so you're not like wondering where's this going to go? And you have some degree of belief that your body will heal itself given the certain, you know, certain steps you might take, no pun intended. So, right, lay off of it, ice it, whatever. So, but when you're still trying to figure out what the pain is, that's your body telling you something's going on.
I know.
And so you have to pay attention to it. And so I don't think you get to that place where you can balance mastery and acceptance until you, especially if there's like a root cause.
Mm-hmm.
There's
another pun, root, teeth,
that's
root.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, just chew on that for a little bit.
So,
so unless you know, I don't know that it's helpful just to say, going to accept when you maybe are doing more damage by not listening to your body's pain. I mean, that's what runners do. That's what athletes do. They, you know, sometimes they say, I run through the pain or I ride through the pain or whatever. That's not always a great strategy for an athlete who wants a lifelong, you know, a lifelong active, you know, agenda.
And I totally understand that. And I think that's what's sort of been bugging me is my brain was like, well, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And but it also is kind of gets exhausting to obsess over it, you know. I'm
right.
Asking Haley all these hypothetical scenarios, what she thinks I should do. I mean, I got to the point where I have this night guard, you know, that is supposed to keep me from clenching.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of nights I woke up in, you know, searing pain with it on, so I just instinctively take it out.
Yeah.
And that developed this sort of association in my head, so now I like have anxiety wearing my night guard to bed now because there's a part of me that's like, if I wear this, it's going to cause pain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, well, Haley, what do you think? Should I go every other day wearing the night? And she's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's doing her best. But yeah, it's, It's funny because I have a friend who is going through a much more extreme. I mentioned him. He's been dealing with like a lot of facial pain and like nerve pain, sort of sprung out of nowhere. And it's similar. He's talked to me about it and he's like, no one can figure it out. It's super exhausting. And as I was getting this, it just gave me like a very tiny fraction of a, you know, perspective. Mm-hmm. It's like you know, life is exhausting enough as it is, but to layer on like chronic pain, it's just like, woof. Right. Yeah. So right now I kind of feel, I have this like base level feeling that everything is wrong and everything's going poorly. I know everything's fine, but I just can't help but feel like the bottom is about to be like pulled out from under me at any moment. Mm. I don't know what I'm afraid of happening, right? I think I'm just afraid of like, I'm so overwhelmed that I'm going to mess something up and really mess something up at work.
Cause your own downfall.
Yeah, yeah. Do something really detrimental. Or I just, any sort of task that's ahead of me, I automatically assume the worst. Mm. Like, for example, I have to go, we're looking at a house tomorrow. And I have this running narrative now that my realtor hates me.
Oh.
Which I, you know, not, I don't know what that's based on, but that's an example. If I have any, I have a trip that I'm going to LA to in a couple days just for networking, right? The narrative in my head right now is, I don't have enough meetings set up. I'm going to sit there like an idiot doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, like everything in front of me, I'm just focusing on how it could go wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's exhausting.
Yeah, sounds exhausting.
It is.
How do you get a break from it at all? Are you allowed to?
Yeah, how do I get a break? That's the question, I think. How do I get it? Going outside, honestly, exercise.
Yeah.
Which I hate saying that out loud because George is probably listening like, I don't, like every time he's like, so have you been exercising? I'm like, damn it, George, you know I haven't. But there's truth to that. Exercise helps. Getting outside helps. Just like getting away from my phone, my computer, anything that sort of
sucks the life out of you.
Brings my mind to tasks I have to accomplish. Yeah,
and the technology is so insidious that you can be on your phone for enjoyment and then you can slip right into an email. Or
yeah.
So there's never a break, right? No. You're always on, you're always available.
So this is just a long-winded way of me saying, I am in a deficiency. I'm in a therapeutic moment deficiency right now. And, you know, I thought it would be great to talk about that. And just why don't we just give me some therapeutic moments and then I'll be good.
Just deliver them.
Yes. Yeah. To you. Yep. Just
fly by.
Whip them up real quick.
Drop them like bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is you also probably have a perspective that you're not going to be in this place forever.
I hope not.
Like you. My sense is that you are always pretty loaded. Like there's always stuff for you to do,
mm-hmm.
right? You own your own company.
Yeah.
And so there's always something that needs to be done. And how do you manage that? Like what's the difference between today when you respond and say, I'm good, but clearly it's not good, from the other days when you say it's good. And I'm like, I learned to trust that. I learned to know like, okay, he is consistent with what he's saying. Like how do you, like what's the difference now? Is it the pain, the TMJ stuff, or what my diagnosis, not anybody else's, but.
I think it's, I mean, I loaded up my plate.
Yeah.
And I knew that was coming down the pipeline, project-wise, right, with my company. And I guess it's sort of coincidental that this all started occurring right when things started to kick up. Because basically, you know, in my line of work, Cool Story, that's the name of my company, Cool Story.
Right.
It's a new, you know, it's a year old. So right now I'm doing a lot of different types of roles. So when I like have a video project, I'm coming up with the idea. I'm writing the idea. I'm directing it when we make it. I'm also like answering the clients, all their questions, mm-hmm. anything about strategy, I'm doing that. I'm producing it. So that means I'm coming up with all the logistics, finding all the people, creating schedules. And then I'm finishing it too. So I'm working with, like, it's just when I compare it to when I was in advertising, mm-hmm. I just had one role.
Right.
I just had to write it. And that was it. Production would take care of production. Strategy would take care of strategy. Right. Account would take care of account. So I'm juggling basically three projects at one time, mm-hmm. and they're all on different timelines. And doing all of those things, I think this is the first time where I've loaded my plate that much. Mm-hmm. And leading up to it, you know, I was like, oh, it'll be cool. And then this started, and then I stopped sleeping. And a part of me is like, that's what's put me over the edge. I'm not sleeping anymore. I don't get 8 hours to just reset and be like, oh, I'm not stressed anymore. You know, I don't get 8 hours for my brain to just process. I just feel like it's just dang
thing after the other.
Yeah, like there's no recovery.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, in basketball terms, it's like I'm just on the court nonstop. Mm-hmm. There's no, I'm not getting to the bench.
No subs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I see the flip side. Like, I'm grateful for the opportunities. I'm grateful for the work. And I'm grateful to grow the company, and hopefully that happens. But yeah, I was talking to George. I was like, I don't know if this is my body's way of saying, hey, Alex, we're a little bit older now. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put us in this situation, this might be how we respond.
Yeah, right.
Which that's kind of humbling, and like, you know, my immediate response would be like, you shut up, body, and you do what I tell you to.
Right.
But I don't want to be that guy, you know, so. But yeah, also too, when you ask like, how you doing? I was like, well, do I say I'm awful? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm good, but I'm not good. I'm not awful though. It's just a lot going on. And yeah.
So if we were, if we were not in a podcast situation, I might say to you, maybe it's not important that we meet. Like, maybe there's a season where you need to take a couple weeks off of therapy, or...
I mean, at the same time, too, it's like therapeutic moments are respite for me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, knowing that about yourself is important.
Just to be like, hey, this is what I'm experiencing, to tell it to another human, and for that human to be like, I hear what you're saying, versus, you know, to tell that to another human and then be overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. You know? I try to talk to my friends, and it's like, yeah. They got their own stuff.
Yeah.
You're a professional, though. You can take on...
Supposed to.
Yep.
Be able to write everybody's stuff.
All the stuff. You're like a landfill for stuff. People just...
Feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. Really what it is I need respite from stuff. Like work, projects. Just need a vacation.
So... Once again, that poses an interesting question for this. Is this work or is this your therapy? You know, is it... The audience has heard anything. They know that you have George who's waiting in the wings and you meet with him regularly. But this is not... I mean, it's not the same creative stuff that you do in your job.
Yeah.
But it's related, right? It's multimedia. There's some kind of connection to this.
Can I ask, do you worry that this contributes to the stress?
Yeah. Especially today, because today the audience doesn't know this at all, but that today is a day when my schedule changed and I mm-hmm. thought I'll text Alex and I'll see if he can move his appointment up.
Yeah.
And it's an appointment for a podcast. It's not an appointment for a therapy thing. And I probably wouldn't do that if it was like for therapy, if somebody, you know, unless it was like the last appointment of the day and I didn't have anything, I might throw something out and say, hey, no big deal.
Yep.
We can keep it at 4 o'clock if you want, but I'm available now if you want.
That's more or less what you said.
Yeah. But so does that land on you like, oh, Steve's ready to do the podcast, so let's go do that? Or do you look at it like, am I in the mood to, like, I have my head around going to therapy, quote unquote, at 2:45, whatever we said. Now I've got to move it up. Oh my gosh, I'm not prepared for that. Or
No. So I wasn't, that wasn't my experience.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
But you're not entirely off, right? There is an element of stress. You know, I feel a little bit of like performance, you know, Dance Monkey Dance. We talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah. Because it's a podcast, but do you feel that way in therapy as well?
Sometimes, I don't know. Typically, it's different. When you ask, do you feel that way in therapy? You mean with George?
Yeah.
And just, yeah. There are times where I walk into my sessions, like basically looking to pick a fight. I'm just so irritable. It's like everything. And George has told me, he's like, I can tell you're stressed. The second you walked in, I could tell. Mm-hmm. And the first response you gave me, I could tell. And he's told me that in those instances, he tries to just sort of give me space and yada, yada, yada.
Does he call it out? Does he say, I can see you're stressed, I'm going to give you space today? Or does he just kind of internally kind of...
He'll ask questions like, how have you been sleeping? Well, how's your mood been? Mm. And usually we've gotten to a point now where I feel comfortable being like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in a really shitty mood and like you're pissing me off kind of. And he'll kind of laugh. And he always says he's glad that I say that, because that means I'm being honest with my feelings, you know, and letting them out instead of trying to filter them in a very Minnesotan way.
Yeah.
But I typically don't feel like my therapy sessions, I don't feel that pressure of like, okay, I got to bring something. I feel much more comfortable just talking about whatever's on my mind. But that's not, sometimes with the podcast, it's like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if Dr. Steve's going to like that. He said he doesn't like my vicissitudes. I'm just kidding.
Because, I'm contrasting earlier in the first season, the audience has known this, you have a screen up here in the room and you would have topics, you'd have things.
I did that one time.
Okay. But yeah. I'm sure whether it's on the screen there or the screen in your head, right? Yeah. You've got... Do people go to therapy and think, well, what have I got to bring today? What have I got to, Yeah.
And I think that there have been times where I've done that when early on in my therapy. I'd bring a list of like, here's what I really want to talk about. Because sometimes I find that I'd leave a session feeling good, but like, oh, wait, I didn't talk about this thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Which I've learned... That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I love it when people bring things in.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about. Great. Let's get to it.
But also, too, like if you get caught up talking about something you weren't planning on talking about, chances are there's something there that you wanted to talk about. So to kind of get back to your question, changing the time, like that didn't catch me off guard or anything like that. And I'm pretty good about being like, nah, I don't want to do that. If anything, I was like, good, we'll get it over with so then I could rest. Because that's another thing. I haven't shared this with you or the listeners. Is like, I'm pretty tired after these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll have to lie down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I don't get that in my regular therapy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Probably just because, as the audience now knows, we do these back to back.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot. We cover a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And also, too, there's just the element of, I'm not thinking about it consciously, but subconsciously, I know there's like this, the internet's sitting over here watching. And I think so that sort of adds just a little bit
of a different element to it. Yeah. Yeah. And I would say the other thing is that this work, emotional work, is still work, and it's draining.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember in my early training, coming home at the end of seeing clients just feeling wiped out because it's emotional work in this chair as well.
That's something I've wanted to learn more about is like, do they train you to like how to deal with that? Or is that just something that you're expected to figure out?
A little bit of both, I think. Yeah. They talk about boundaries and compassion fatigue and things like that, and not getting worn out, and how do you take care of yourself and self-care and those kinds of things. But I think a lot of that is idiosyncratic to the therapist. Like what helps me unwind? Is it going on a run, going on a ride? You know, is it getting on a motorcycle? Something like, you know, like what is it that does it for me? And it may not be the same thing for the next person.
Yeah. Cause it would be a lot to listen to people's problems all day, every day, especially if they were like intense. Yeah, you said compassion fatigue, and my brain immediately was like, we have life fatigue right now, Alex. Or like, we have, you know, just fatigue. I went and did an EMDR session. My doctor or the therapist is back from her. She had surgery. She couldn't come to the office, so I hadn't seen her in like a month. And she was like, hey, I told her about what's going on with my jaw. And she's like, you know, it would be interesting to do a test run of EMDR just so you can become familiar with the process, but let's focus on your jaw, and the pain. Okay. It was a really interesting experience, and somewhere along the like process, are you familiar with how EMDR works?
Yeah, I am.
So she, you know, every 50 seconds or whatever, she'd pause and say, what are you noticing? Mm-hmm. You do that over and over and over again. And somewhere along the line, she asked, what are you noticing? And all I could think about was like how I just wanted, and I said this, I was like, I just feel like lying down on the floor, calling up into a little ball and just like crying for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, tell me more about that. And it was just like, I am very, right now I'm just desperate for sort of a release. You know, it's just therapeutic moments or something where it's like, I can just acknowledge, and we talked about this, I was like, I think what was so interesting about that EMDR session was I have been aware of my stress and aware of the like pain in my jaw, but I've been like functioning alongside it. Like, hey, I acknowledge that this is going on, but I need to figure out a way to keep pressing in spite of it.
Pressing forward, yeah.
In the EMDR session, I sat down and I felt like I got to like acknowledge the stress and in a way like mourn it. Like, hey, this really hurts. It's burdensome. It sucks. We don't need to judge it. Like how, you know, we don't need to compare it to other people's pain, stress. It just sucks you're experiencing right now, and that's okay. And like, you can be sad and you can be overwhelmed and you can be exhausted and not feel like you have to, you know, be perfect. And that moment was cool. I told her that. I was like, I feel like I haven't been doing my, like I haven't been nurturing sort of that feeling or acknowledging it.
Yeah.
But the EMDR put me in a place where I could kind of sit down with it, and it was cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how your experience with that modality is, because so much of what you do is talk related, and there is an element of that that's talk related, but there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that's going down in your head.
Yeah, I think I like it. It was reminiscent to me of meditation.
Uh-huh.
Also, I don't know it that I told you this, but I did a sensory deprivation tank. Have you ever heard of those?
Yeah.
Basically sit in a giant tub of salt water
like and you Stranger float. Things.
Yeah. Or even like the Matrix kind of. I mean, not entirely, but you're in this closed pod and you can't see anything. It's completely dark.
Minority Report.
Yeah. Yes. Those little, what are they called?
Empaths.
Yeah. That movie does not hold up, by the way. I rewatched it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it was not. I remember when it came out, everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's not that great. But all that aside, I did that. It was reminiscent of that feeling where it's like, you just sort of daydream and...
So why did you go into this?
Why did I bring up the EMDR?
No. Yeah. Why are we talking about this? No, why did you go into a sensory deprivation?
Tank. George was like, because I was telling it, this was probably a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, dude, I just gotten back from a shoot in Dallas, and I was getting ready for another shoot.
You mean film shoot?
Because yes.
In America, we have to be clear about what you're talking about.
Film shooting, production, video production, cameras, actors, lights, camera, action. And I was like, dude, I just need some kind of break. And he was like, have you ever done a sensory deprivation tank? And I was like, no, what is it? And he told me, I was like, why not? I love it. Let's give it a shot. And I found one and I did it. And it was fine. It was, you know.
You found a tank or you found a place that.
Found a place. Yeah. I went to Home Depot and just got a bucket and then a lid and I put it on. No, there was a place in Minneapolis. It was like a holistic healing center kind of a place. And they just had a tub in their basement and it was great. I sat there for 90 minutes, which was too long. 60 minutes would have been the sweet spot. But, you know, you get to a point where you just, for me personally, you're right. I do talk a lot. My therapy has been talking.
Talk therapy, right.
This was more internal, reflective, my mind just processing stuff. I don't know. I feel like if I give my brain enough time to just work itself out, like there's that initial anxiety running around, chaos, and then it settles down. And then I start thinking about things that I've been meaning to think about or I've wanted to spend time thinking about that are important to me. And the EMDR sort of replicated that. Granted, it was a little bit frustrating because, and I told her this, I was like, you're right when I get into a groove, you pause and you ask me how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I did get help from that. And it was interesting. We talked about my teeth pain, and that was a moment. That was one of the first moments where I was like, hey, maybe this is not my teeth. Maybe it's, you know, clenching and stress, like just manifesting sort of that way. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see her on Wednesday because I'm going to LA, and I'm not going to be able to see George either. But that's okay.
You can always rerun ours.
Just listen.
Relive those moments.
Yeah. Do you ever, this isn't necessarily your typical line of work. You've said that.
What do you mean?
Like, do you get people who are like, hey man, I'm really stressed out. I'm totally overwhelmed.
People who are calling for an appointment because they're stressed out. Usually not.
Yeah.
Especially mine is more relationship oriented.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Someone's hammering.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at our time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we probably should wrap up here and then transition to thinking about next week.
Yeah. We've already broken the wall in season two. I think we can just, the cat's out of the bag. This is a perfect opportunity. Do you want to make a Family Feud reference? it's your call.
Not yet. They have to be organic.
You can't force it.
You can't force Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Also, too, the hammering's a good cue to... Yeah. So we will wrap this one up and dive into the next session.
See you on the flip side.
All right, everyone. Stay happy.